We're talking about the T word, right? It's a word we sometimes love. I can still remember my family of origin, where there was always this feeling that the church wanted your wallet. And so there was always this joke, leave your wallet at home when you go to church. And I can remember thinking that and thinking, oh, that's all they want is just our money. And then I'd watch televangelists on TV and I'd see them do offerings and those kind of, and take 30 minutes to do it, encouraging people to give. And I thought, oh my gosh, they're working people. I grew up in a business that was mostly sales with produce. And so I understood how to sell to people. And I felt like many times I was being sold to in the church, trying to be pumped up, trying to say that there was enough in it for me to actually give. And I wouldn't regret it. I didn't like that. I don't think you like that either. And I tend to be, you know, some of us tend to be a little more feisty when it comes to stuff like that. But I realized that there was a lot in my mind and in my heart that was just baloney and were lies. And I had to work through that garbage and rid my heart of it when it came to tithing. To tithe or not to tithe? That's the question that we all have to face as Christians at one point or another. Are we going to choose, and how are we going to choose to give? It's really kind of a foundational question for us. And it really has nothing to do with our bank account. I started giving to the Lord before I really had much in my bank account. And maybe you feel you don't even have a bank account today. It's not really about that. And it's not about whether you can afford it, because that's not really what it's about either. Rather, tithing has to do about how you see yourself, how you see the world, how you see your finances and resources. It has to do with that and how you see God. And it's really real. It's how we see those things, really. It's not how we tell ourselves we see them, it's how we really see them, right? So the question this morning we're going to try to answer and bring a little more clarity to is, what does the Bible say about tithing? What did Jesus and the apostles say about it in the New Testament? What is the purpose of giving money to the church anyways? And when did that start happening? And I hope today to bring some clarity to some of that. Why do we give this 10%? And that's what tithe means, 10%. Of our money right off the top to God. And how relevant and how relatable is that practice today in the church? So I want you to bow and pray with me. And let's just ask the Lord to speak, because we're going to read a lot of his word this morning. We're going to let him speak for himself and ask his spirit to speak. I'm not going to sell you. I'm not going to work you. I'm just going to call you to consider what God has said and what he's done. Amen. Amen. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, we just ask you to be Lord over this and that you would give freedom and assurance to each person here that you want them to decide. Just as they have to decide all sorts of decisions in their lives, so they must decide on this and what they think about this. And so, Lord, lead us and guide us, we pray. Holy Spirit, open our hearts and speak to us. And Father, if we have any things that are misperceptions or lies in our hearts, God, rid us of those things. And let the truth go forward. Change us. And then, Lord, we do pray. We want to be growing and responsive disciples of yours. We don't want to just be a neutral. And we want to use this one life and this one body that we have to serve you and to worship you, to know you, and to love others, and to bring your kingdom on earth. And so show us, God, how tithing relates to that. It's in Jesus' name we pray, and we all said together, amen. Amen. So let's do it, huh? What does the Old Testament have to say about tithing? We need to start there, and then we're going to look at the New Testament. But what are some of the Old Testament passages? They speak fairly directly and clearly. So we may mow through some of this stuff really quickly, but let's look at the first. Actually, there's mention of tithing in Genesis. We'll get to that a little later, but let's look at some of the scriptures that really clarify it. Leviticus 27, 30 through 32. This is in the book of the law. This is the direction God gave to his people. A tithe, 10% of everything from the land. They were mostly shepherds and or farmers. It was their currency. They bartered. That was their money. 10% of everything from the land, whether grain from the soil or fruit from the trees, belongs to the Lord. It belongs to the Lord. It is holy to the Lord. That means it's set apart for him. Whoever would redeem any of their tithe must add a fifth of the value to it. It means 20%. If you had to, for some reason, use it and then had to delay in giving it, you were called to add 20% to it to show your fidelity, your faithfulness. Every tithe of the herd and flock, every tenth animal that passes under the shepherd's rod will be holy to the Lord. Leviticus 27. Pretty clear, pretty straightforward. In God's family, in God's economy, God's people, that's how it worked. Numbers 18:26. Speak to the Levites. That would be the priests. It would be like in the modern church, we're priests, we're shepherds, we're pastors. And it says, speak to them and say to them, when you receive from the Israelites the tithe I give you as your inheritance, you must present a tenth of that tithe as the Lord's offering. So the Levites who received it and used it to do God's will and God's ministry and his work, and to really kind of be God's messengers and co-workers, they were also to tithe 10%. So nobody was kind of exempt from this. A tenth of what you receive is to go to the Lord. Deuteronomy 14:22. Be sure to set aside a tithe of all that your fields produce each year. 2 Chronicles 31:5. And you guys are seeing these up here, good. 31:5. As soon as the order went out, the Israelites generously gave the first fruits, the best and the first. That was the other thing. You gave 10% of your income to the Lord, but you gave him the best. You didn't go through and call your flock and get all the little, you know, all the ones that had, you know, the three-legged sheep or the, you know, all the grain that was rotten and not really good. And you brought that to the Lord. No. You brought it first and the best to the Lord of the grain, the new wine, olive oil, honey, and all that the fields produced. They brought a great amount, it says in Chronicles, a tithe of everything. And even before these tithes were required by Mosaic law, as I said before, Abraham tithed once in Genesis 14:20 to Melchizedek. That's an interesting passage to read. But he gave a tenth. And then Jacob pledged a tenth of all he had in Genesis 28:22, as he was talking with the Lord and said, if you're going to be my God and you're going to do these things for me and you have this will for me, this then will be what I will do. It was a common practice. It was something they understood. But then in Malachi 3, verses 6 through 12, there was trouble if this practice was not happening. It was considering a break in the covenant. You are not being faithful to me. And it says this, I, the Lord, do not change so that you, the descendants of Jacob, are not destroyed. Why? Ever since the time of your ancestors, you have turned away from my decrees and have not kept them. Return to me, and I will return to you, says the Lord Almighty. But you ask, how are we to return? We didn't even know we left. They had become calloused and dulled as they were walking with God. And this is how God says you left. Will a mere mortal rob God? Will a mere mortal rob the Almighty Creator of all? Yet you rob me. But you ask, how are we robbing you? In tithes and offerings. That's how you're robbing me. You are under a curse, your whole nation. And you don't even know it because you are robbing me. Bring the whole tithe into the storehouse. That's into my temple, into my body. Bring it to me, that there may be food in my house. And then the Lord says, I'm going to help you with this. Test me in this, says the Lord Almighty, and see if I will not throw open the floodgates of heaven. This has been the plan all along, by the way, is that these floodgates would be open. But something was shutting them up. Well, they weren't tithing. They weren't giving what was right to give to God. They weren't giving it to him. So the floodgates of heaven, he goes, I'll throw them open. I'll pour out so much blessing, there will not be room enough to store it. I'll prevent pests from devouring your crops, and the vines in your fields will not drop their fruit before it's ripe, says the Lord Almighty. I will personally care for you and bless you. Then all the nations around you will call you blessed, happy, for yours will be a delightful land, says the Lord Almighty. So amazing that an all-powerful creator would not only call us on our issues, but then on top of it, promise, look it, I'll be gracious to you. I will be compassionate. In fact, I will be overly generous to you because I understand that you are but dust. I understand that you're struggling with this, but I can be trusted. So let's talk a little bit about what the Old Testament laid out in the tithe and some of the points that are important to get. First, and it'll be up on your screen behind me, a tithe honors God as your source for life and blessing, not your own hand, not your own power, not your own creativity, and not your own smarts. You honor God when you give to him what is rightfully his. It acknowledges that all things were created and owned by him, and that all good gifts come from him. Everything you have is on loan from your creator. Do you see yourself that way? Do you see your giving that way? I hope you do, because it's so important. And then second, it acknowledges that you're a steward, and that's really the question I was asking. You're a steward who's privileged to use, safeguard, and manage the life and the resources he generously gave to you, and he owns it. He put it in your hands. You're his steward. Do you see yourself as God's steward? You have been bought with a price. Keep your eyes on me and with me. Keep awake in this. You've been bought with a price. That's what Scripture says. You're not your own if you're in Christ. Oh, man, I get that. I get that. I've been redeemed. I've been forgiven. I've been made a new creation because the Spirit's been placed with me. I have the gift of eternal life. I didn't have that for the first umpteen years of my life. But I have that now because God has given it to me like he's given it to you. He owns it all. So when I give, it shows his faithfulness. And it shows my faithfulness to him and my humility and service to God, the God who has given and entrusted such valuable things and opportunities into my hands. It shows I'm respectful of that. It shows that I acknowledge that. Do you see yourself as that? So right off the bat, we got some two good things that giving and especially tithing did in the Old Testament. The third thing is tithe, it shows that you trust God and his promises to you. You simply trust him. Sometimes in our Greek Western world, we think, well, thinking of trusting God is the same as actually stepping out and trusting God. It's not. It's not. You can talk a good talk, but if you aren't living it, it's not the same. Right? But tithing shows that we trust God and his promise to us. We see him right, we see ourselves right. As I mentioned earlier, a tithe also in the Old Testament, it was a way that God instituted to support the ongoing work of his ministry and his priests on earth. It's how God chose to structure things. In addition to other offerings and gifts to care for the poor, they were given to, and they were called to be faithful to it, but the tithe was what supported priests and ministry and the foundation of the church. I don't know if you realize it, but if you go and read through the Old Testament and study all the things beyond the tithe, like the free will offerings and the gifts, it basically, you're given 20 to 30% of your yearly income to the Lord and to his purposes. Because that's what God had required in that time. See, life is about giving. You're going to give it to the government. How much you give to the government? Right? How much do you give to the government? I'm not going to say what I want to say. There's somebody I know pretty well, and they've got somebody who's a pretty good tax person. And I'm always wondering why they get so much money. I'm thinking, you're not giving jack to the government. So, and I would feel a little slinky if I went to that same tax guy. But he's kind of like there, and people are getting lured away to him. But anyhow, that aside, see, we get benefits. It's a good thing for us to give in our communities and come together as a church and as a group and give. Because look at the roads we got. They're so much better than you know where, right? Somebody want to say it? Thank you. Thank you. I'm sorry. I love them. But you try riding a motorcycle down there, right, Todd? You know.
I know where the state line is. The state line is that without looking at the sign.
Well, see. So good things happen because we give, is what I'm saying. And it was God's way that he instituted. And it was much more. And these were good things. So tithing was definitely taught, and it was a part of God's plan for his people in the Old Testament under the Old Covenant. But the question always becomes, what about the New Testament? What about the New Covenant? Are we still to tithe? Are we still to tithe now? Well, let's talk about it. Let's take a look. Our first scripture is Matthew 23:23. But here I want to say something first. I want to caution you with something. Just because something was a part of the Old Covenant doesn't necessarily mean it was done away with in the New Covenant. And now it's not a part of what we do. Right? It's not true. A lot of righteousness was established on how to treat people right and how to do things right, both in relationships and business, in the Old Covenant. That's still right, and it's still righteousness in the New Covenant. So we got to be careful, and we do that sometimes. Well, it's just all part of the Old Covenant. We don't have to do that anymore because we're free in Jesus. I just give kind of what I decide I want to give. Well, there's some truth to that, but it's not completely true. And it kind of sloughs off what was established about giving in the Old Covenant and is the foundation for giving in the New Covenant. Matthew 23:23 says this, and he was telling these teachers of the law and the Pharisees some things, and he was telling them that your righteousness has to exceed the righteousness of the scribes and Pharisees. And this is what he says: woe to you, teachers of the law and Pharisees, you hypocrites. So he's calling these teachers of the law and the Pharisees hypocrites. He goes, you give a tenth of your spices, your mint, your dill, your cumin. You give a tithe like it's prescribed to give. But you have neglected the more important matters of the law, which were justice, mercy, and faithfulness. So there's some things higher and more important than this. He goes, you should have practiced the latter, which was what? Given a tenth, without neglecting the former, which is justice, mercy, and faithfulness. You see what Jesus did just then? He endorsed tithing. He never said tithing, you should quit it. He never said it wasn't a part of what you could do or continue in. He didn't say that completely. He never told anybody not to tithe or not to give. But he's going to tell us more. There's going to be more. So the guidelines for tithing and giving offerings today, they are different than they were back under the Old Testament. And they're explained by the Apostle Paul. I want you to read with me 2 Corinthians 8, 1 through 7. Paul's writing to the Corinthian church. It's a church that has a lot of wealth and a church that has a lot of spiritual gifts. And yet it's not a church that really has been great about giving and understanding giving. And he's going to be talking about another church, the Macedonians. And this church, it's poor. And they don't have many resources. But boy, are they generous givers. And so this is what he says. Now, brothers and sisters, we want you to know about the grace that God has given the Macedonian churches. In the midst of severe trial, their overflowing joy and their extreme poverty welled up in rich generosity. Did you know that? Rich generosity. And the Corinthians knew, we're not giving in rich generosity, and we've got great wealth. For I testify that they gave as much as they were able, and then even beyond their ability. Why'd they give? Entirely on their own, they urgently pleaded with us for the privilege of sharing in this service to the Lord's people. They were collecting offerings for the Lord's people in Jerusalem. And Paul was calling the Corinthians to participate in this as well. And they urged and they pleaded for the privilege to give. Why were they doing that? Were they doing that because they wanted to be seen as, oh, look at us, we're super spiritual? Or look at us, we're better than other churches? No, this church was humble and small and weak. They were doing it out of love. They were doing it out of gratefulness. And it goes on. Wow. Entirely on their own, they urgently pleaded with us for the privilege of sharing in this service to the Lord's people. And they exceeded our expectations. They gave themselves first of all to the Lord, and then by the will of God also to us. They gave themselves first to the Lord, and then to us. Who was motivating their extravagant giving? It was the Lord. It was the Lord. It was his love. It wasn't these Macedonians. They couldn't have pulled this off. It was the Lord. Wow. So we urge Titus, just as he had earlier made a beginning, to bring also to completion this act of grace on your part. Titus was going to the Corinthian church to receive the offering. But since you excel, Paul says, in everything, in faith and speech and knowledge, and in complete eagerness, and in the love we have kindled in you, this church has excelled in some things. This is what he says. See to it that you also excel in the grace of giving. See to it. See to it that you excel in this. Because they weren't excelling in it. But Paul knew they could grow. And Paul knew they had great reason to grow and to give. So then we go on to 2 Corinthians 9, 6 through 11. Just the next chapter in the same letter to the Corinthians. Remember this, brothers and sisters. Whoever sows sparingly will also reap sparingly. An agricultural illustration, right? And whoever sows generously will also reap generously. You know that. It works every time. You know? I threw a few pumpkin seeds out, I can remember once upon a time, out my back door. I thought, oh, this won't be a big deal. Those of you who have ever grown pumpkins, you know what happened, right? All of a sudden, I felt like I was jacking the beanstalk and this thing was taking over back of my house. I had pumpkins everywhere. By simply putting a few beans out, I didn't know what to do. And each one of those pumpkins had hundreds and hundreds of seeds in it. So much more than the few I put out. So we know that's always true. I grew up in the produce business. You have to sow a seed to reap a harvest. It happens every time. Now, we know we have losses, right? But that's the way you actually are blessed and gain more. My mother always said, you got to spend money to make money. So don't be afraid to invest your money or to put it toward the process of making more money. You reap what you sow. That's a principle. Paul uses that over and over again. He told the Galatians, God is not mocked. Remember, A person reaps what they sow. It does happen. And Paul is applying it here to our giving. Whoever sows generously will also reap generously. Each of you should give what you have decided in your heart to give. So here's the difference. Each of you should give what you decide in your heart to give. Sure, we have the foundation of the tithe, but in the new covenant, what is he calling us to? Generosity. Generosity. That's way beyond 10%, is it not? We used to always say that, remember, tithing is the floor, it's the foundation for giving. It is. I see people going, yeah, it is. Raise your hand if you know that. Yeah. It's the floor. Generous giving is beyond. Oh, baby, come on. That's where the good stuff comes. So you're to give what you decide to give, not reluctantly or under compulsion. Even if Pastor Kelly tries to go, all right, man, we want everybody to give 50%. You decide in your own heart between you and God. For God loves a cheerful giver.
Amen.
Amen. Keep your money. I'm telling you, if you can't give it cheerfully, see, it makes me cry. Because I can unload sometimes in giving because I know that's how God does to me and has to me. So, okay, it seems sometimes he drank the Kool-Aid, man. He's out there. Well, yeah, because the Lord is good. The Lord is good. So, he loves a cheerful giver. And God is able to bless you abundantly. So that in all things, at all times, having all that you need, you will abound in every good work. That's the promise. Paul reminds us of that promise. But we got to walk in it. We got to test the Lord. The Lord said in Malachi, test me in this and see. You have to actually act. You can't just think about it. You can't just talk about it. You have to actually participate and act. And so he goes on, as it is written, they have freely scattered their gifts to the poor, and their righteousness endures forever. Oh my gosh, yes. Now he who supplies seed to the sower, who supplies seed to the sower? Paul is telling you God. He's the provider. He's the provider of all things. I don't care if you go to that job and work and you don't like it. If you're blessed by that, it's because the Lord's giving you strength and ability to do it and to be blessed. Follow him and maybe he'll give you a better job. Because he wants to bless you. But he supplies seed to the sower. Now he who supplies seed to the sower and bread for food will also supply and increase your store of seed and will enlarge the harvest of your righteousness. He will. You will be enriched in every way, so that you can be generous on every occasion. And through us, your generosity will result in thanksgiving to God. What a blessing. I could talk over and over with this, and that's the trouble. I get so caught up in it, and my time is fleeting, but I wanna talk about, in the New Testament, what some of these scriptures highlighted. And it'll be up on the screen behind me. Tithing in the New Testament is a hard issue. Just as it really was in the old. Who do you trust, really? Who do you love? And who are you loved by? And who do you humbly serve? You've got to serve somebody. Bob Dylan, he's got a new they got a movie out on him. His album, Slow Train Coming, he says, it may be the devil or it may be the Lord, but you got to serve somebody. And you do have to serve somebody. So it's a hard issue. It's also an awareness issue. Do you understand God's role and his responsibilities and your role and your responsibilities? He's to supply. He's to lead. He's to guide you. Yours is to partner with him to give what he provides. He is our source. He is our provider. Do you see him as such? Are you aware of that? And do you understand your relationship to him? Think about it. You have this creator, this sustainer, this blesser of all things, and he gives you insight on how things work in the universe, and the investments that will bless you and others and really pay off big time, and you and I hesitate to jump on the blessing train. Woo, woo! Right? We balk and we go. And I've watched people do that. God's patient with you. We're patient. But why? Why not just get on? Why not go? Why not come back to Malachi 3 and 2 Corinthians 8 and 9 and meditate on these scriptures? How long will we stay back and hesitate between two opinions? Let's jump on. So it is an awareness issue. It's also a worship issue. Jesus made it plain that money can become a god or idol in our lives. Matthew 6:24 says this, "No one can serve two masters. Either you will hate the one and love the other, or you'll be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve both God and money." Say amen to that. Can't do it. Can't do it. Because money and material possessions will take control if you allow it. So it's a worship issue, but it's also a joy and gratitude issue. Think about the redemption, the forgiveness of sin, the gift of the Spirit making you a new creation, and the gift of eternal life that you've received through Jesus' death on the cross. Think of the things he's made new in your life and how he's led you to blessing as you've trusted him with things and with people. And if you haven't, then begin to. Begin to trust him. Because it's joy and gratitude that leads us in our giving. We're so thankful. I was so thankful to be able to give when I was first saved. So thankful. I saw his, and then I saw God just giving me more. I could not outgive him. And I even tried sometimes. I did, because I thought, okay, there's a challenge. You can't do it. You cannot do it. It's too much of a place of blessing. And generous givers know that. And they would never want to go back. See, it's also a freedom to make an appropriate choice issue. It is. When you see what God has done for you, you see what God has done for the world, his death and resurrection, you consider what he does for you personally, day in and day out, and you listen to his love and his heart and the opportunity he gives you to partner with him in his ongoing work. Generous giving, like we talked about with Zacchaeus, remember, last Sunday, it's really the only appropriate response. Generous giving is. You know that in Hebrew, there is not a word for obey. You know what the word actually is defined in Hebrew that we use for the word obey? It's listen. Because obedience was to be more than just checking the box. More than just a rote, well, I'll just do my do's and don'ts and follow the rules and I'll be okay. No, it was telling you, you respond appropriately because you've actually heard and listened. And your obedience is that appropriate response. See, that's what we have the freedom to do now in Christ in the New Testament. Therefore, are we called to give a tithe, 10% of our income to God as we stand in the New Covenant today? What's your answer? No. No. It's not what we're called to do in the New Testament. No, we're called rather to give generously. Woo! Aren't you glad you came? Yeah. And we're called to give joyfully in appropriate measure to what has been given to us. Well, hallelujah. That's for sure. That's for sure. We're also called to sow our seed by giving our money lovingly and expectantly in trust, believing for the blessing to come upon us and to other people that our Heavenly Father has promised. We get into his economy. We get into his realm when we give. No person on this planet can outgive him. So you'll not be ever left with less in giving. You might at times for a while. God will make it up in miraculous, mysterious ways. God works through his faith-filled responders who follow to build the kingdom of God on earth. That's what he does, and you can be a part of that. You're called to be a part of that. It takes all of us giving together. It really does. And if we did and trusted him, what blessings would result? I'm telling you, all ships would rise, and it would be wonderful. So my question I leave you with as I close today, how will you joyfully and cheerfully choose to give to him, to his body, and to others in need around you? How will you joyfully and cheerfully choose to give today? I want you to stand with me as we ask God to give us the faith and the strength to respond appropriately and not just respond maybe the way we always have. To respond appropriately. Lord, give us ears and eyes and minds and hearts to understand what you say, to listen, to have a will to do things your way. God, those that are timid or scared or concerned today because they just can see their realities, help them, God, not just to see the reality of their life, but to be able to see what's true, what's really real, and what's really true. Because you're there, help them to see you, Lord God. And help us all, Lord, to be able to take steps of faith, even today, to be more generous givers. And to never miss opportunities to bless those that are around us with our resources, our abilities, our opportunities, and yes, our money. Lord, we ask this in Jesus' name. So bless and build up your church. Build up your kingdom. And may it shine bright on earth because we trust you and we're growing in our trust. It's in Jesus' name we all pray and we all said together, amen. Amen. God bless you.